We all have one thing in common, one head to one body. Let's think about that spiritually, shall we?
Wonderful words, those wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.
Greetings, hello, and good to see you once again. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse. I'm Jeff Archie. Book, Chapter, and Verse is brought to you each week as a tool of Bible study that you and I can open up the precious book divine by inspiration given, and we can study the Word of God, the Holy Bible, together. I trust that it will lift your spirit and strengthen you in your pursuit of truth. Please stay with us on the broadcast today as we conclude. We'll have some contact information. Should you desire for further Bible study, we'll be more than happy to share things with you by mail, and we'll give that to you. It'll be absolutely free. We don't want your money here on this broadcast. We just want your time and your interest, and we thank you for that today. Our book, chapter, and verse today will be from Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23 will be the text we'll consider by way of introduction. As we think about some things today pertaining to the church we read of in the New Testament. Reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, the Bible says concerning the power of God, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, may the Lord always bless us with the reading and the hearing and the application of His Word. Now, I want you to notice something that's so elementary, so simple, but yet so true. One head to one body. He is the head of the body. Now, that's normal. One head to one body. The head makes decisions. The body will follow whatever the mind decides. When a body cannot function to what the head says, there will be problems. It's tragic to where there's illnesses of the mind to affect people to where they cannot control their body. And you think about the head and the body. I'm reminded of where I grew up in Middle Tennessee. We would have visits from, well, mostly copperhead snakes, your occasional rattlesnake, and we were always taught that when you kill them, you separate that head from the body. Now, that body could twist and flip and do everything else the rest of the day, but the head was severed, which meant that snake could not bother you. As we think about that in the way of this, the head is vitally important to the body. We know that. Now, as we're talking about the church that we read of in the New Testament, and we've been looking at the church in previous broadcast, I want you to think today that the church is unique. The church of the New Testament is different because it has one head and one body. And let's just today ask some questions in our study to help us see this simple truth that's saying so true from God's Word. Now, let's begin with question one, if you will. Question one is, who is the head? And I believe we've seen the Scriptures have already made that clear, but by way of review, the Scriptures are clear that Jesus Christ is the head of the body. Now, we noted that reading from our book, chapter, and verse text as we began of Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things He might have the preeminence. Christ is the preeminent one. There is none other higher than the Christ as the head of the church. After all, God gave Him all authority. In Matthew 1, 18 through 20, a beautiful Great Commission passage. Jesus said, all power is given unto Me in both heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." So there's no difference. There's no misunderstanding. God granted all authority to Jesus Christ. No other man, past, present, or future, has ever or will ever possess the authority over the church than Jesus Christ. So our simple question, who is the head, is answered simply that it's Jesus Christ. There are no earthly heads that are authorized to be over the church today. There is no one who has an authority to make decisions for the church that would be aside from the Word of God. Again, as I mentioned earlier, when I had someone call our office one day and ask where our earthly headquarters were located, I had to tell them that we didn't have an earthly headquarters. We didn't have a central location, a office, or anything of that nature that would direct us in what we are to teach and preach. We simply reach for God's all-authoritative word, the Bible, and we understand the authority of God, the authority of the Son, the authority of the Spirit in what we have, and we use it as our guide. Now, you might be wondering, that's different. That sounds different from what I'm used to hearing. Well, let's stay with the study because we've answered the question, who is the head? My friend, let me ask you a question. Do you know absolutely for certain that the head of the church where you attend is Jesus Christ? If not, let's keep studying and looking at what God has to say. Now, the question is, who is the head? Christ. Number two, what is the body? What is the body? Well, as we've seen from our reading, the body is the church. Now, in this question, consider this with me. The body is the church, and we note that again from our reading of Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we could stop right here with this question, what is the body? We can say the church. We could stop right there and we'd be done with it. But again, here, Colossians 1 and verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now listen to verse 24 of Colossians 1. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So when we ask, what is the body? Well, the body is the church. Now let's go a little bit more. We were in Ephesians a while ago. Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Listen to the oneness of the Scripture, if you will. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now let's think about all this oneness. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. Ephesians 4:5 says there is one Lord. Now think with me for a moment. There's one body. That's right. There's one Lord. Yes. Do you suppose the Lord had one physical head or many? He had one. As far as head of authority, who did God place as head over the church? Christ. Head over his body, the church. Correct. So there's one Lord, right? Yes. One head? Yes. One body? Yes. One church? Folks, can't be any other way. If the body is the church, and it is, then through the Bible, God only authorized for there to be one church. If He only authorized one Lord, one head, one body, and the body is the church, then God only authorized one church. That's so simple, yet so profound. Now, you might be looking at me saying, Jeff, are you teaching that God only planned for there to be one church? Well, the book, chapter, and verses we're looking at says yes. Somebody will up and say, but Jeff, there's a multiplicity of churches. There's a number of churches. Why, you can pick up the average phone book and you can see churches of all different names, shapes, and sizes. But yet we can pick up the all-authoritative word and see one church. Now let me ask you something, friend. Where do you want to put your trust in salvation? In the phone book or in God's Word? It is so simple, and yet there are so many that it's a struggle there. I know this, friend, if I direct my friends, share with you from God's Word and God's Word only of the church we read of in the New Testament, the one church that Jesus promised to build and He did build. If I direct people to that church, I know I can't go wrong. If I direct people to other churches that I can't find in the New Testament, I'm not being fair. I'm not being honest. But if I'm able to take the Bible and the Bible alone and find and understand that one church, that's the one of which I wish to become a part of. Who is the head? Christ. What is the body? The church. Let's give a third question. What is the function of the body? Now, in order for a body to function, it has to be attached to the head. I mean, one's head controls one's thoughts, one's motives, one's words, one's actions. For example, as you're viewing me, and I'm viewing you, but as you're viewing me, as you can see, I have one head to one body. If I'm thinking that I want to raise my right hand and grip my fist, I can do it. If I'm thinking I want to raise my left hand and just hold it out there, I can do it. My mind controls what my body does. Now let's think of this in a spiritual sense. Let's think of the head, Christ, controlling the body, the church. I mean, how simple. First of all, one's head controls one's thoughts. My thoughts are, you know, I control my thoughts. I'm the one that thinks and reasons and discerns and all. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, we're taught that through Christ we're able to be bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when I'm obedient to Christ the head, and I'm part of the body, the church, I'm going to listen to the head, Christ, to make sure in my life that I'm thinking the right things, that I'm understanding the right things, that I'm looking at book, chapter, and verse and know that God controls my thinking. As I ponder on things and I want my thoughts to be pure and right, and as I ponder on those things, my thoughts then, secondly, go into the words that I say. You see, I'm thinking about what do I want to say. And of course, through television, sometimes we have some aids that help us. Of course, you know, news people have teleprompters. Sometimes we have our notes in front of us or something like this. And we use a variety of different things. But to use that, it's got to come from the thinking part first, put into words. I want you to notice something with me very quickly from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this text. And before we go there, let me mention this about words. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it of the ability that God has given him. And this is to be done according to Peter, that God be glorified in all things through Christ Jesus, to whom, of course, we praise, we grant dominion and honor forever and ever. 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, if we speak of the oracles of God. God controls our thoughts, He controls our words, because that's how we communicate. Now, the 1 Corinthians 2 chapter is kind of a little extra bonus, if you will. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's interesting to where Paul will talk about the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now listen, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, that which is revealed, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now listen, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now watch, but as it is written, he's going back to the Old Testament. Now listen to verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Again, that goes back to thoughts from Isaiah 64:4. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Then Paul comes right back there in verse 10 and says, but God hath revealed them unto us. So you see words the way we communicate. The thoughts of God given to us in words. The function of the body. The thoughts of man, my thoughts, result in my body's actions. And with the church, the head, Christ, as we think of Him, He controls the body, the church, and we're able to respond. Now notice, He controls our thoughts and our words and our actions. One's thoughts controls one's actions. What is in our mind and our hearts we express in words and what we do. We're in the book of Colossians and looking at that wonderful text. We were in Ephesians, rather. We'd go back and forth to Colossians. I want you to listen to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also are you called in one body. Colossian church, you're in one body. You're one body. As you're called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, your mind, that you convey words and your actions. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How were they called in that one body? 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, we are called by the gospel of Christ. Now, let's think of this point again. What is the function of the body? A body responds to the head. My thoughts, my words, my actions. Spiritually speaking, Christians that comprise of the church, the body of Christ, must respond to the head of Christ in our thinking like Christ, our words from Christ, and our actions on behalf of Christ. Isn't it amazing how the head and the body works together? And as we're called by the gospel of Christ, then we move in the right actions, the right ways, in the right direction. Now, let's review our questions here. As we talk about the church we read of in the New Testament and the study of head and body, let's spend a moment let's review some questions. Number one, who is the head? Jesus Christ. No other head has the authority over the church other than Jesus Christ. What is the body? Well, the body is the church. The body is the church comprised of human beings and individuals. And the final question we say, what is the function of the body? That the head, Christ, that our thoughts brought into captivity, that the head is controlling our body and what we think concerning Christ, we're able to respond in words and in actions. So when we look at the church as the head, or rather the church as the body and Christ as the head, then the church must respond to Christ the head, His words and His authority. May I ask you a question, kind viewer? Are there times you wonder that the church where you attend is truly following after Christ? We all should be. We all should be following Christ and to carry forth His commands and to carry forth His will and His way. We should allow the head, Christ, to control our thoughts and our words and our actions as the church. For after all, He promised to build it, Matthew 16:18. He purchased it with His own blood, Acts 20:28. And the purpose of the church was through the Son, the eternal purpose of God in Colossians 3:10-12. I could sit here all day and talk about the simplicity of the church we read of in the New Testament. And countless millions have been added to that church in this simple way. They heard the gospel message, which helped them to achieve their faith, Romans 10:17. Believing God and turning away from a life of sin, they turned closer to God. That's repentance as commanded in Luke 13:3 and Acts 2:38. They confessed, same confession of Peter in Matthew 16, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And making that foundation is sure and solid. It's the foundation. It's Christ. And they were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Have you done that today? Now, when one is baptized into Christ, that doesn't mean that so many people say, well, that sounds like water salvation. Well, folks, I can take a person that doesn't believe in God. I can immerse them a dozen times and it's not going to change a thing. But for the person that believes in Christ and will repent of their sins and confess Christ as the Son of God, the only way they can get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ, according to Galatians 3:26-27 and Romans 6:4-6. They're raised to walk in newness of life. You see, salvation doesn't end there. They walk in newness of life. They serve Christ. Their words and their life and their actions are totally different. And they serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their might. They continue to walk in that light. They continue to embrace, listening to the head, Christ, and growing therein. That's all you have to do to be added to the church we read of in the New Testament. You might ask very quickly, well, would they vote me in? No. Man does not need to cast a vote where God has added souls through obedience to His will. Dear friend, would you like to know more about the church we read of in the New Testament? Again, stay tuned. We'll have contact information for you and love to hear from you. But for now, let's pause from our study and enjoy this beautiful hymn together. Thanks for joining me today for our study in the book of Colossians on the head and the body. And I look forward to our next study the next time on Book, Chapter, and Verse.
My beautiful words, wonderful words,
wonderful words of life.